This is your tech news briefing for Friday, October 30th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Semiconductors are pretty easy to forget about, but as you spend more time gaming, uploading photos to the cloud, and generally living your digital life, those tiny chips are working behind the scenes to make all of that possible. That's one reason why semiconductors are actually really big business. The industry has traditionally been dominated by Intel, but with a flurry of recent planned mergers, we're seeing a lot of smaller players start to challenge that. Our reporter Asa Fitch will join us to discuss after these headlines. Yesterday was a big day for tech earnings. We got quarterly reports from Apple, Alphabet, Amazon, Facebook, and Twitter. Like most tech companies, these five have done well throughout the pandemic, so the results were expected to be good. But for the most part, all five companies exceeded analyst expectations. Apple posted strong results, but took a hit to iPhone sales after supply chain disruptions delayed the release of its iPhone 12 models. Meanwhile, Google's parent company Alphabet said it saw growth in its ad revenue, coming back from its first ever decline in the figure last quarter. Amazon brought in a record $96.2 billion in sales last quarter, even without its annual Prime Day shopping event, which it usually holds in July but had to delay this year. And CEO Jeff Bezos said the company's already seeing a surge in early holiday shopping in Q4. Facebook said it saw a 12% uptick in daily active users from the same period last year, with more than 1.8 billion people logging in every day. And even though analysts had expected a loss, Twitter surprised by posting a profit. But the company saw its smallest increase in daily users since it began reporting the figure. All right, I just threw a lot of information at you. To help put it in perspective, here's our global tech editor, Jason Dean.
I'd say the biggest takeaway is that in this pandemic era, tech just keeps getting more important, bigger, and stronger. You know, there are some exceptions to that, but when you look at how we live and how we work now, everything from online sales at Amazon to our use of social media and importance of digital advertising and the use of cloud computing by corporations, it's all become more important at exactly the same time when the fears are at their highest among some people that tech is already too powerful.
Despite the strong results, several companies saw some volatility in after-hours trading. And Jason says there's still a lot of uncertainty.
Part of it is just how far the stocks have risen already. I mean, they've been among the best performers across the market, the big tech stocks, for the most part. You know, again, there are exceptions. And so there's, I think, a lot of questions about how much of the past, present, and future performance is built into the price already. So I think that's part of it. But on the whole, the trend has been largely up and to the right.
By the way, getting all these earnings reports all at once isn't typical, but there have been a few factors at play recently. Here's Jason again.
The past two quarters, we've had these mega earnings palooza days with four or five companies all reporting at once. I think that's partly a function of the fact that there have been hearings the day before in both cases. And so that affects the ability of the companies to schedule, because obviously their CEOs have to prepare for the hearings and have to prepare for earnings, and they don't want to have them on the same day. It's probably preferable for the companies also that they announce their big numbers the day after they go in front of congressional hearings where the subject has been their outsized power. And then, of course, you might have had some companies that would typically report next week, but we've got the election. I think they're cognizant that by Monday of next week, you know, all eyes will be on the election. And clearly there's a lot of questions about how that's going to go and when we'll get the results, as well as obviously what the results will be and what that will mean for the companies, broadly speaking, the tech sector specifically. So I think they just would prefer to avoid that.
And finally, your Netflix subscription is about to get a little more expensive. The company's standard streaming plan, its most popular, will now cost $13.99 a month, up a dollar from before. Netflix also upped its premium plan to $17.99 a month. The company says the increases are due to the high cost of creating original programming. It's the first time Netflix has raised prices since early last year, and it comes as the company is trying to compete in an increasingly crowded streaming market. All right, coming up next, why there's a merger frenzy in the semiconductor industry. That's after the break. Semiconductors are like the brains of your devices. They're the pieces of silicon covered in transistors that help make your digital life possible. In the past few months, as we're spending more and more time living our lives digitally, the semiconductor industry has been consolidating left and right. We've seen some of the biggest proposed deals in the industry's history. Just this week, there have been two major proposed deals. Yesterday, Marvell said it would buy its rival, Inphi. And before that, AMD said it would buy Xilinx for $35 billion. To explain what's going on, we turn to our reporter, Aza Fitch. Aza, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So just to be clear, is all this activity normal for the semiconductor industry?
Well, I mean, the industry has been consolidating for some time. I mean, there's been a rash of consolidation over the past, I would say, you know, around a decade or so, maybe half of a decade. You know, as companies realize that there are benefits to being larger, you know, if they want to compete with the biggest player in the U.S., which is Intel Corporation, they just want to be larger. Their customers are getting bigger. So there's a logic to it. It's been going on for some time. But it's just been accelerating in an unprecedented way this year.
And what's driving the change? What are the factors at play here?
Well, there are a few different things. I mean, in the sort of longer term, broader sense, companies are just realizing that it's better to be larger because of the way the market is evolving. Part of the reason is that these chip companies' customers, like these companies that operate big data centers and do cloud computing, they themselves are getting larger, and they want a greater breadth of products that they can buy from, you know, just one company instead of trying to source things from, you know, 10 different companies and try to make them work together. So for customers of these companies, it's often better to deal with a larger company, larger supplier. And so these chip companies see that, and they see that it makes sense to be larger. That's one reason. Another reason, you know, it's happening now is that stock prices of a lot of these companies have shot up during the pandemic. You know, a lot of people are stuck at home, obviously, and they're working from home, buying lots of laptops, using online services more. So that's given these companies leverage to do deals with their stock because their stock prices have gone up so much. So most of the deals that we've seen this year have either been all stock or majority stock.
Yeah, and let's break that out a little more. We know the pandemic has actually spurred a lot of growth in the tech sphere, in part because of how it's changing consumer behavior. How does the pandemic play in here?
Yeah, I mean, it's playing a large role. I mean, the industry has kind of wanted to consolidate more and more for a long time, but the pandemic has really made that possible. You know, people are obviously, they're working from home more. That means they need more computing power at home. And that means they need to buy more PCs, buy more laptops and other things like that to work at home. But also people, as they work at home, they're using more online services. They're just on the internet more. And the internet isn't just, you know, some magical thing that just works. You know, there has to be computing power behind it to do the calculations, to, you know, load a website or go to the company's, you know, system internally and do things. That activity, the rise in activity, is leading to more demand for these chips that underlie it.
And of course, we've also been seeing a lot more gaming since the pandemic set in. Is that also a driver?
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's another reason that some of these companies have seen their stocks rise considerably. You know, you have the likes of AMD, which provides chips to some major game consoles like the Xbox and the upcoming PS5 and other things like that. They also make graphics cards, which people use in their gaming PCs and things of that nature. So people have been spending lots more time, you know, doing online gaming because, you know, they're not going to restaurants and doing other things that they might have done in the evening. And so that's leading to better stock prices and helping fuel this surge in acquisitions.
And, you know, you mentioned Intel earlier. They've really been the major player in the space for a long time now. Where are they in all of this?
Well, Intel is, you know, struggling to some degree these days in its manufacturing strategy and other ways. Of course, you know, it bears repeating that Intel is still very large and it's still extremely, you know, it's much larger than the other players in the industry still. I mean, its revenues are above $70 billion a year. These other players like that have been growing, like NVIDIA and AMD, make less than $10 billion a year. So Intel is the big player in the U.S. semiconductor industry. These other guys are kind of nipping at their heels. You know, Intel has had some technological struggles recently. They recently announced that They've fallen about a year behind their initial schedule for the next generation of super fast chips. These other players like AMD, like NVIDIA, are rising at a time when Intel has had some problems. And Intel is trying to sort out its own issues and, you know, get into some of the same areas that these other players are getting into. But, you know, these other players, these sort of competitors to Intel are mounting a more formidable challenge than they have been able to in the past, partly because of these acquisitions and the stock price movements in the pandemic.
So this really big sort of seismic shift, what does this tell us about where the industry is heading?
Well, the industry is heading, I mean, it's kind of obvious, I guess, but the industry is heading toward being much more consolidated and being more of a, you know, a three or four horse race. You know, I mean, it used to be you have Intel and then sort of a smattering of mid-sized and small companies. What we might see in the future, if some of these deals go ahead, and it should be noted that they're all pending regulatory approval, and that's not a certainty. I mean, major semiconductor deals have fallen apart in the recent past for geopolitical reasons. You know, but if these things actually work out, we could see a situation where you have more of a, you know, Intel competing with, you know, AMD and with NVIDIA and with potentially others, you know, on a little bit more of an even footing. So it could result in an industry that's kind of less sort of Intel and then everybody else and more of, you know, Intel and NVIDIA and AMD, and it sort of depends on what happens, but maybe some other nexus of power in the industry.
Right. And if they do go through, my big question is, what kind of impact could that have on consumers?
I mean, that really remains to be seen. That's the effect on consumers probably won't be really evident for a number of years. I mean, obviously these things have to be approved by regulators. That's not going to happen for, you know, at least a year, probably 2 years before those decisions come down, depending on, you know, which deal we're talking about here. And then once that approval comes through, then we'll sort of start to see how these companies, you know, combine forces and what that really means for consumers. You know, my guess is, you know, on the average consumer level, you might not feel it directly day to day, but it might just mean that it becomes, for example, you know, easier for people to move into cloud computing, and cloud computing becomes more, performance is better and the upgrade cycles are faster potentially. I mean, these are just guesses really. I mean, it sort of depends on how these companies manage through this and make these deals work. I mean, there's clearly a lot of risk in them, but, you know, we could see as consumers potentially, you know, benefits in the next sort of 3 to 5 year range, or, you know, that might not materialize too. You know, it's not a sure thing for sure.
All right. Our reporter Aza Fitch, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
That's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Production help came from Ternay Nari, and Chris Sinsley is our supervising producer. Kateri Yoakum is the executive producer of Wall Street Journal Podcasts. I'm your host, Amanda Llewellyn. If you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week.